الله. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه والتابعين لهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. All thanks, praise and gratitude is due to Allah, Lord of the universe. We bear witness and testify that no one is worthy of worship besides Allah. We also bear witness and testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is indeed the servant, slave and messenger of Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's choicest peace, mercy, blessings and salutations be on our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his family and friends and those who follow in their guidance until the day of judgment. Beloved brothers and sisters, it is wonderful to see that before I start the pre-khutbah talk that the mosque is almost full, because normally people start coming in while we are talking. It shows if we don't have other commitments, we can be early in the masjid. Barakallahu feekum. May Allah bless us and protect us, inshaAllah. We are facing the end of another year, and we're going to usher in a new year. And when it comes to the new year, we are reminded of the statement of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu with regards to the importance of the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by saying, فَأَرِّخُوا بِهَا. So date your calendar from there because of the importance of the migration of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But for us to identify and understand or adequately comprehend the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or to commemorate it for that matter, we need to be able to at least draw a summary of what transpired before the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But more importantly, to derive maximum benefit and lessons from the entire hijrah, and from the events that led up to the hijrah, and even after the migration, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our beloved Prophet, peace be upon him, reached Al-Madinatul Munawwara, and what transpired in Medina, and what do we benefit and gain from it? After 1400 years, what do we stand to learn? And that with the grace of the Almighty, we would like to concentrate upon today. We can say that firstly there was the Makkan period. The Makkan period or the Makkan phase before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam migrated to Medina. And we must try and summarize the Makkan phase first of all. And we are aware of the fact that it spanned about 13 years. And it started at the beginning of Revelation until Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's migration to Medina. Now if we have to put a name or a title to it, what title can we safely put to that particular period, the Makkan period? We can say it is the phase of challenge. It was a phase of determination. It was a phase of courage. It was a phase of persistence. Challenge, determination, courage and persistence to do what? To carry the mission of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To carry the da'wah. To carry the propagation of the deenul Islam. We can also call it another name to say it's a time of endurance. Endurance of righteousness. Encountering people of interest of Quraysh. Because they have always encountered those people of Quraysh. And therefore they needed to endure
for what is right and what was the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The revelation started when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we all know, was approximately 40 years old. And during the first 3 years of that particular period, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam bred morally distinguished generation. And we say the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam bred a morally distinguished generation that was successful in all aspects of life. And this was the generation that was actually going to shoulder the responsibility of the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this spanned for 3 years until the Muslim reached approximately 300. Yes, 300 at the very beginning of Islam. And at the end of the 3rd year, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, فَاصْدَعْ بِمَا تُؤْمَرْ وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. Now it is time that you come out in the open and start propagating the deen of Islam in the open. You don't have to be secretive about it any longer. Which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam executed immediately. From the end of the 3rd year until the 6th year of the hijrah, of the first Meccan period, the disbelievers of Mecca, they started to harm Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his companions. To the extent that they tried to kill some of them as well. And at the same time, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, while they were doing that on the one hand, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam established what is known as the University of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, giving the Muslims a training course. Ad-Darul Arqam ibn Abi al-Arqam. That was the training ground of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. And in this house, Muslims had an intellectual, spiritual, moral, and a political training from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this fruitful training from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam produced the greatest of personalities, produced the role models that excelled politically, that excelled socially, morally, and intellectually. And amidst all this abuse of the Muslims, there was a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what was that gift? The gift was Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, and Hamza ibn Abd al-Muttalib, the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they embraced Islam. Amidst all that, you get one of the strongest and firmest people, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu an, and Hamza ibn Abd al-Muttalib embracing the deen of Islam. That alone is a gift in itself. When a person embraces the deen of Islam, we say that is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We might be the instruments, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-hadi. Allah is the one who gives the guidance. Allah is the one who gives hidayah. Islam gained the support of these two prominent people. And hence, Islam moved into a new phase. And Quraysh, the kuffar of Quraysh, they realized that harming the Muslims is becoming useless. We can't harm them because they are just pursuing. They have courage, they have perseverance, and they are standing for what is right. So they enter into negotiations. Rings a bell? Same thing is happening today in the world. They fight us, they call us terrorists, they want to butcher us, they want to bomb us, and at the end of the day they say, let's negotiate. Same thing happened in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Enter into negotiations. Offer them monetary benefits. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam responded beautifully. Give me the sun in my right hand and the moon in my left hand to leave what I'm doing. I will never do it. I will never leave it. This is my job. This is my function. I am Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This was the training that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave those sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in. All failures. They couldn't offer Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam any worldly gains. Beginning of the 9th year of the Meccan period, Quraysh imposed a siege on the Muslims. Sound familiar again? The siege on Gaza today. The siege in the world on Muslims. Branding them as terrorists. Arresting them wherever they can. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the 9th year of the Meccan period faced a siege on all the Muslims. that lasted for 3 long years. And during this period, they wanted to stop the da'wah activity and they could not freeze it because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam stood the test of time and the da'wah carried on. They called it the time when the da'wah was essentially frozen. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam continued with the da'wah. It was not frozen. Shortly after that, the death of Abu Talib, one of the greatest supporters of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, immediately followed by the death of Lady Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam now became convinced that Mecca is no longer the refuge that he was seeking. Went to Taif, and we all know what happened in Taif, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the most difficult day in my life that I have faced was in Taif. All for the cause of da'wah. All for the cause of the deen of Islam. They came back. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam came back from Taif. Tried to gain the support. The 11th year of the Meccan period was the time when some of the Ansar embraced the deen of Islam. The people of Medina. The 12th year of that Meccan period, the great pledge, they pledged to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that, Ya Rasulullah, we give you our pledge and support to embrace the deen of Islam, and should you migrate to Madinatul Munawwara, we will make you the leader of us. Giving Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that pledge. After that, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the 13th year, undertakes the hijrah. And we all know how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam left his home, left Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala, and not only to sleep in his bed, but also to take care of the amanat that was in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's care. And leaving the home, leaving through those soldiers that were standing there waiting to execute Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, with verses of the Quran reading, and they went blind, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam continued on his journey, saying to Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an, I have been commanded with the hijrah. The first response was Abu Bakr radiallahu an says to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, how about a companion? You can't travel alone. Take me. I am your friend. How about a companion? He wanted to be in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the hijrah starts, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam ends where? Ends in a cave. The cave of Thawr. Right now, 13 years have passed. And I have given you a summary of the 13 years. Let us look at the lessons. The lessons that we can learn today, 1429 years later, we can learn from this journey of Rasulullah, the first 13 years. First of all, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, they embraced this great message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and to humanity of reforming the world. They shouldered the responsibility of that mission. This message of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam filled their hearts. Consequently, what happened? They sacrificed for it. And as you are listening to me, is this idea not possible in our minds, that we are so in need of the revival of the nation of Islam today? Can it not fill our minds and our hearts that we, as millions of Muslims today, can't we take this message to heart and embrace it for the sake of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's satisfaction? Secondly, patience, persistence, determination, sacrifice, blood, and death, and fear. These are the everlasting narrations and stories that we get because these people embrace the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sumayya, radiallahu ta'ala anha wa ardaha. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could say to the family, Abshiru ya ala Yasir fa inna maw'idukumul jannah. Glad tidings to you family of Yasir because you are guaranteed the jannah. That is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised you are going. People like Sayyidina Bilal ibn Rabah, who was tortured by Umayyah ibn Khalaf, his master at the time. All that he could say is, Ahadun Ahad. Why? He embraced the message of Islam. He embraced La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. And he could say, Ahadun Ahad. I will withstand any torture. You can put me on the hottest of sand and put the hottest of rock on me. I will say, Ahadun Ahad. I will die for the cause. Sacrifice. We ask, are we ready to make the sacrifice for the revival of the deen of Islam? Are we ready? The intellectual preparation, the training that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave to the new generation, training them was the crucial part of developing that generation to carry the message of Islam. Our young people, they must have a comprehensive training if we want the revival of the nation of Islam. Number four, there was smart and flexible initiative planning. At that point in time, divine revelation played no role in that planning. It was the planning of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Holy Quran came down piece by piece. The miracles of the Quran was there. Miracles came down. But that was to boost the morale of those around Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Quran is our guideline. The teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaches us how to plan. But today we want to use our own planning system, our own way of thinking, and we forget about the Quran's guidelines and the guidelines of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Fifthly, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught his companions, and this is a great lesson that we can learn in the situation that we find ourselves in and other Muslim minorities in the world, how to coexist with non-Muslims. Muslims were not isolated. They merged with the society and they mingled with the Muslims. And therefore, there can be no revival of this beautiful religion of Islam if we do not know how to coexist with others. And sixthly, controlling oneself. Despite all the oppression, despite the siege, despite the tortures that they went through, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught the Sahaba radiallahu anhum how to be in control. Why? To save a society from destruction. No companion, and we know, Abu Jahl, the arch enemy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wherever he found the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would degrade him. He would try and torture him. Whether it was a mental torture, whether it was physical, but Abu Jahl was there to do it. But I want you to show me once in the history of Islam, where did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, attack Abu Jahl? Violence was never the cause of the Anbiya alayhim salatu wassalam. For our ladies who think they are oppressing the deen of Islam, for those people who think that Muslims oppress the woman, women played a vital role, and sometimes more important that of men. Asma, the daughter of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anha, how many times did she run up and down while Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was in the cave of Thawr? They tortured her. They beat her to tell them where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was. She endured and she never said a word. She took the milk and the food to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and her father Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anha. Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, the sister of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anha. There can be no revival of the deen of Islam unless women claim their rightful place in the deen of Islam, given to them by Islam. And yes, despite mistakes that can occur, it teaches us that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us how to plan. And if we fail in our planning, then know that failing can lead to success. We must not give up. Hope. Number nine. Hope was the very significant part of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's biography. For 13 years, those tough, long years and difficult ones. Remember, two caves in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The cave of Thawr and the cave of Hira. The cave of Hira, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to ascend, used to walk up into the mountain and communicate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sit alone in the cave and pray. Until the revelation came. Where did revelation come? It came at the cave. A small little cave where just a person can fit in. The cave of Thawr. A little cave where two people could just barely sit inside. The narrowness of the caves. A lesson for all of us to learn. Out of the darkness and the narrowness of those caves, out of the one came the light of the Quran to the Muslims of the world, to humanity of the world. And out of the other cave came the establishment of the religion of Islam and the society of Muslims. Out of two caves. Sometimes we find life becomes so difficult and so narrow that we say we do not have space to breathe. Don't give up at that moment. That's the time when you say, "Inna ma al usri yusra," that with every difficulty come ease. No matter how narrow the space may look and it become for us, there is always hope. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam brought about a deen of Islam out of a cave. The religion was born out of a cave, out of the narrowness and the darkness of it. So no matter how dark and narrow life may come to you, don't despair. Always have hope. Because hope was part of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's biography. Trusting in Allah, depending on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Usually sometimes we say, we have done all the planning. But don't forget you have to depend on Allah to make that plan succeed. They have done all the planning to execute Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They put those guards and soldiers outside the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And yet Allah is very clear in the Quran. وَإِذْ يَمْكُرُ بِكَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لِيُثْبِتُوكَ أَوْ يَقْتُلُوكَ أَوْ يُخْرِجُوكَ وَيَمْكُرُونَ وَيَمْكُرُ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ. They have planned. They wanted to execute you. They wanted to isolate you. They wanted to arrest you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best of planner. There is no better plan. Allah has the blueprint of everything. Muslims need to learn today. If we want the revival of Islam, need to learn how to depend on Allah. Learn the words. Ya Aba Bakr. مَا رَأْيُكَ فِي اثْنَيْنِ اللَّهُ ثَالِثُهُمَا. Abu Bakr, you are my companion in this cave. What is your opinion? What do you think? Two people and Allah is the third. To give Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala that confidence in Allah. Not that he didn't have it. But he knows and he says, Ya Rasulullah, if they look down, they will see us. Yet again, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to him, لَا تَحْزَنْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعْنَا. Don't worry. Allah is with us. This is what the Muslim Ummah need to learn. Don't despair. Have hope. Allah is with us. The deen of Islam could not have been revived. It could not have been established if it wasn't for four morals that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught his people. And that is faithfulness. How to be faithful to the deen of Allah. How to be faithful to Allah and to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How to be honest. And how to be loyal and how to be proficient in everything that we do. With these four morals, the establishment of a nation of Islam could never have happened. But this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught his people, taught us today. Do you want the revival of the Islamic nation? I have established it on these four morals. And if we look around us and assess the Muslim nation today, then we find we are lacking in these four morals, in our faithfulness, in our honesty, in our loyalty, and our proficiency. The Makkan phase highlighted a very important principle of Quraysh. And that is they refused the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. For what reason? Not because they didn't believe in it. Not because it wasn't the truth. They knew it was the truth. But they put their personal interest before the religion of Allah. One caution to the Muslim nation today. Don't ever put your personal interest in front of the satisfaction of Allah. Don't when it is time of salah, you want to do something because it is your personal interest. Your personal interest is in your salah. Satisfy Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first, before you do anything else. This is the lessons that we learn from that Makkan period. Because Kuffar Quraysh, they did not accept the message because of their personal interest, of their status, of their position that they held. How can we bow down to an orphan, Muhammad? How can we listen to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? We can't listen to him. We are the Sada, we are the saves of Quraysh. We can't bow to him. It's not in our personal interest to do that. Therefore, their arrogance kept them away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Read Surah Abu Lahab. Read Surah Abu Lahab. Tabbat yada Abi Lahab wa tab. Allah says, ma aghna anhu maluhu wa ma kasab. Whatever he has, he was very rich. He was one of the wealthiest people of Quraysh. But his wealth couldn't help him. He's going to hell. That is what Allah says in the Quran. سَيَصْلَى نَارًا ذَاتَ لَهَبْ. Why? Because of his personal interest. Don't think because you have money you can put your personal interest in front of Allah's satisfaction. No. Abu Lahab did it, and look at the consequence of it. Why is the Quran there? The Quran is full of wisdom to teach us. The life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is an open book to teach us. Then the second period. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam now on his way to Madinatul Munawwarah. And this is the period until the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we can title that period the establishment of a home. A home for the Muslims. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam carried on his journey to Madinatul Munawwara. I hope you don't mind if we carry on a bit longer today. We don't have to go back to work, is it? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam left behind some Muslims in Mecca that didn't make the hijrah. But never did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam encourage them, while you are staying in Mecca, you spy for us there, or you do wrong things there, and you hurt and you harm those people while you are in Mecca. No. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam never did that. Why? Because he respected the citizenship of those people who were living in Mecca. Irrespective if the Kuffar Quraysh gave me a hard time for 13 years while I was there, I am not telling you, ya Abbas, my uncle, you are staying behind, you must give them a hard time. I respect your citizenship. I want that citizenship of yours to be intact. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought that to the attention of even at the Battle of Badr. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, if you see Al-Abbas, don't kill him, because he didn't stay behind out of his own will. He is my uncle and I know what he is about. And they never caused any trouble while they were in Mecca, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam left them behind. This is how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam respected citizenship. Before reaching Al-Madinatul Munawwara, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stopped at Quba. Quba, at that time, the masjid was not established. Now sometimes we say, we're taking on a long journey, and we're coming by plane from very far, and we suffer from jet lag, and we are very tired, and we can't do our job, and we can't do our duty. I can't even make salah, I'm too tired, I must go and sleep. I'm tired of the travel. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam undertook the journey by camel, went from Makkatul Mukarrama, staying in the cave, being hunted down, coming to Madinatul Munawwara, going to Quba, 4 days, 5 days in Quba, trying. What did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam do in Quba? Establish a masjid. Not establish a masjid, let's build one. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, come, let's build a masjid. Yeah, in Quba. First masjid in Islam. Come, let's build it. Not, I'm going to hire all the architects and all the builders, they must come here and I'm going to pay them a check of a couple of million, you build the mosque fast quickly. No. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went by himself and says, come, gather the people, we're going to build a masjid. This is the masjid. La masjidun ussisa ala taqwa min awwal yawmin ahaqqa an taquma fi. This is the masjid that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was spoken to by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the glorious Quran. Therefore, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved that masjid so much that once a week the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to walk the 10 kilometers from Medina and go to Masjid Quba and pray two raka'as in Masjid Quba and go back. To the extent that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, anybody who takes wudu in his home and he goes to Masjid Quba and he makes two raka'as lillahi ta'ala, it is like he's getting reward of an umrah. This is how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarded Masjid Quba. But also another reason. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was heading for Medina. But staying at Quba 10 kilometers away is in preparation to go to Madinatul Munawwara. Not to go and surprise them. Oh, I'm here. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the ambassador of Islam. The ambassador of the message. The ambassador of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He had to go in well prepared into Madinatul Munawwara. Build the masjid. Make his salah there, and then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, then they went over to Madinatul Munawwara. Every day, the people of Medina came out to come and look, where is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Some of them heard of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but never seen him. Some of them even mistook Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because they have never seen Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Until one day, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, and Az-Zubayr ibn al-Awwam, he brought some clean clothes for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and for Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and he said, this is the clothes that you will enter into Madinatul Munawwara. And somebody heard that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was coming to Medina. And he went to stand on one of the hillocks there in Medina, and he says, Ya ma'ashara al-Arab, O the people of Arab, your grandfather has arrived from Makkah al-Mukarramah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When they heard these words, try and imagine. I want you to try and imagine that all the children, the women, the men, the youngsters, everybody left their homes to go and welcome Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the desert. They want to see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we commemorate at the beginning of our year. Not to go and dance it in with a lot of coons. Not to go and stand and make a mockery of ourselves in the streets. It is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's commemoration of the hijrah that we learn the lessons and we drink deep from the well of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes to Madinatul Munawwara and you hear the words of Allahu Akbar. لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر. This is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam coming to Madinatul Munawwara. These are the words they welcome Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with. And one man stands up and he starts saying, it is midday, it is the day Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never entered the city at night. Enters the city during the day and he says, طلع البدر علينا. Yes, the moon has come to us. The moon is not to be seen. Who is the moon? Who is the Badr? Is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The shining light of the full moon is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. طَلَعَ الْبَدْرُ عَلَيْنَا مِنْ ثَنِيَّاتِ الْوَدَاعِ وَجَبَ الشُّكْرُ عَلَيْنَا مَا دَعَى لِلَّهِ دَاعِ أَيُّهَا الْمَبْعُوثُ فِينَا جِئْتَ بِالْأَمْرِ الْمُطَاعِ جِئْتَ شَرَّفْتَ الْمَدِينَةِ مَرْحَبًا يَا خَيْرَ دَاعِي Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the words. The moon has shone over us from the valley of Wada'. And we owe it to him to show gratefulness to him. Where is the caller to Allah? O messenger of Allah, you come to us with a message that we will obey. You have brought the city nobleness. Welcome, O the best caller in the way of Allah. Marhaban ya khaira. Sayyidina Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, he said, the best day in the history of Medina is the day when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arrived. He says Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arrived on a Monday. And on that Monday, the light came to Medina. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died on a Monday. And that Monday, the light left Medina. Sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was welcomed with a song. But here, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now faced with the dilemma as to where am I going to stay? And everybody wants Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Everybody wants him to be the guest. Everybody wants to host Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, no, leave my camel. Wherever my camel stops, I will go. And the camel stops in front of the house of Abu Ayyub al-Ansari. Bani Najjar, the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the mother's side, from Aminat Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha. This was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's wisdom. I don't want you to fight over me. Let the camel stop. And wherever he stops, I will go. But when the camel stopped, Abu Ayyub al-Ansari was the first to take the baggage of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he took it to his house. And he says, yes, this is Bani Najjar. This is where you can stay, O Rasulullah. But where am I staying? I'm staying with the one who took my baggage. The man goes where his baggage goes, says Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So I'm going to stay with him. Now, can you imagine, at this day and age, we have our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam coming to us. Can we say, O Rasulullah, come stay with us? Our house is open. Or do we first have to go and take away all the magazines that's lying around? We have to remove all the wrongs that is there, the signs of the wrong stuff that is in the house. Must we change our garb, the way we live in the house, the way we speak? Do we have to change all that before we can let Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam into our house? Can we really say, oh Rasulullah, come, I want you to be my guest today? How am I going to welcome Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a house where there is so much wrong happening? How am I going to explain that to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Abu Ayyub al-Ansari kept Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the upper section of the house. He first said, Rasulullah must stay at the top section. Rasulullah said, I want to stay at the bottom. You can stay at the top. He says, no, if we walk, we will disturb you. You Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you must stay at the top. We will stay at the bottom. And eventually Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam agreed to go stay at the top. But every day the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to eat. This is just another note of importance. I'll tell you why. Every day Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to eat, and they used to catch the crumbs and used to eat it from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And one day he went to give Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam some supper, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't eat. And Abu Ayyub was worried, and he went up and he says, "O Prophet of Allah, is there something wrong with the food?" Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "There's a lot of garlic in the food, and I cannot eat the garlic, because I communicate with Allah and the Malaika, and Jibreel comes to me. So I don't want to disturb him. And I don't want to disturb Allah." The lesson that we learn. For all those smokers who have no shame and come and stand here in the masjid and disturb others where their smoke smell, who still have their last cigarette right there at the door of the masjid, who come in the masjid and have no respect for the others that are in the masjid. And yet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, anybody who eats something of a strong smell, like onion or garlic, don't come close to the masjid. Don't disturb the people, in other words. I'm mentioning that as a lesson for all of us to learn. That we come in a state of purity. Smell beautiful. And yes, the itr is beautiful. But don't overdo it also with the itr. Some people overdo it with the itr as well. So, be modest in everything that we do. But remember, don't disturb those that are in the masjid. This is a very important lesson we have to learn. And it comes out of the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the first thing that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did in Madinah al-Munawwara, while he was on his camel, before entering the house of Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, was to give a speech. It expected, yes, the ambassador just arrived, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we need a speech from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Listen to the speech. Ayyuha an-nas, afshu as-salam wa at'imu at-ta'am wa sallu bil-layli wan-nasu niyam tadkhulu al-jannata bi-salam. Beautiful. Beautiful words. O people, spread peace. Spread peace. Feed the poor. Pray at night when everyone is sleeping. You will enter paradise with peace. Few words. Now I ask you, was that a political speech? Was it a spiritual one? Was it a social one? It covered everything. And I'll tell you why. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before coming to Madinatul Munawwara, understood the situation in Medina. That is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made the speech. This is a lesson for all those public speakers. To speak what is appropriate. To understand the circumstances and situation. To address it in the most appropriate manner. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Afshu salam. Why? Why spread peace? When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Madinatul Munawwara, there was always war between the Aus and the Khazraj. There was always war. And therefore Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam starts with spread peace. Who preceded Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Medina? The Muhajirin. They left behind all their possessions in Mecca. They had nothing with them. They are poor. At'imu at'am. Feed those poor. Who? The Ansar? You are from Medina, you're going to feed the Muhajirin. Look at the speech. Look at the wisdom of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in all that, if you keep the peace, you spread peace amongst yourselves, and you feed the poor, you still need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And pray to Allah in the middle of the night when everybody is sleeping. You will enter paradise with peace. Look at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The speech that cuts across all the barriers. Social, political, everything that we can think of is in that few words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imagine that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives us that speech today. Are we not in need of that speech? When we are always bickering and fighting with one another? Always having hatred in our hearts with one another? When our salam means nothing any longer, we say assalamu alaikum and yet we smack the person from the back or we bite him from the back? Afshu salam. That salam that you spread is a verbal contract between yourself and the next party. You have peace from me, you have peace from my tongue, you have peace from my hands. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And you must respond, wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. Because that is a contract that you enter. Afshu salam. Are we not in need of that speech? To revive this ummah, to revive this nation, this is the beginning of the establishment of an ummah in Madinatul Munawwara, of the establishment of an Islamic nation on these few words. Are we not in need to care for one another? The rahmah has gone out of us, the mercy has gone out of us. We do not want to feed the poor any longer. The poor that come and knocks on our door, we are looking down on them, we are chasing them away. Don't feed them. أَفْشُ السَّلَامُ وَأَطْعِمُ الطَّعَامُ وَصَلُّوا بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّاسُ نِيَامُ. Stand up in the night when people are sleeping. You make salah and pray to Allah. Who of us, we don't even want to get up for Fajr. Are we not in need of those lessons? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Muhajirin comes as a new class in society of the society in Medina. The Muhajirin left their homes, they are poor, they are in Medina. They do not know how to trade, how to work the fields because they were tradesmen in Mecca. These are all the things that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to deal with. The Aus and the Khazraj were always at one another's throats. They were the hypocrites that were living in Madinatul Munawwara. They would come and say, Ya Rasulullah, you are the Prophet of Allah. And when they go away, they say, you know, you feed the dog and eventually the dog will eat you up. Why must you listen to Rasulullah? It's the hypocrites. And then there were the Jews. Three tribes of them who were in control of the trade and the crops and the wells and the clothes, etc. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked at all that very carefully and said, first of all, what am I going to do? To bring about all those differences that we have here amongst the people, we're going to build a masjid for them. Build a masjid in Madinatul Munawwara. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam again starts by building a masjid. And the masjid is not the place of worship. We're all just coming there once a week. No. On a Friday. It wasn't for a purpose of a Friday. It was a purpose for everyday salah. It was the training ground. It was the learning center. It was the playing field. It was the sports center. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam established the masjid to bring them all together, all the tribes, whether you Aus, you Khazraj, you Ansari, you Muhajir, you're all going to come to the masjid and you're going to come and stand shoulder to shoulder 5 times a day. This is where you're coming to meet one another and we will bridge that gap of the differences that we have. The masjid must not create the differences. The masjid must eliminate the differences. A point that we need to learn in this part of the world. Secondly, let me now bring about the brotherhood. Let me teach them. You are the Ansar, now I bring you the Muhajirin and you are all brothers. They believe in Allah and you believe in Allah. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةً. And what is the meaning of brotherhood? We're going to share everything. We're going to split it everything down the line, 50-50. So there's the brotherhood established. And thirdly, I'm going to give you a constitution. I'm not going to give you the Quran and say, here's your constitution. No, the Quran is still being revealed, piecemeal. But I'm going to give you a constitution. The first constitution in the world, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives them in Madinatul Munawwara to all of us to learn from some of the points in the constitution. The Muslims from Quraysh, Yathrib, Makkah, together with those who follow them all, there will be one ummah. They are all equal in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their rights and obligations. Listen to this, dear brothers and sisters. All the Jews in Medina are to be included in the Muslim ummah, except those who start with injustice and aggression. Both the Jews and the Muslims have to provide their expenses. They should spread advice and righteousness among themselves and they should avoid aggression. Jews have their own religion. The Muslims have their own religion. No one is allowed to go fighting out of Medina or to bring enemies to Medina without taking permission from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These important lessons we learn and we derive from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's hijrah. We are about to usher in the new year. Where's the brotherhood? Where is the brotherhood that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam started his mission and the establishment of a home in Medina? Where is it? We are fragmented. We are divided. Back into tribes. Back into nations. Where is that ta'aruf? Where is that understanding of one another? Where is the masjid that brings us all together? Under one roof. Under the banner of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Where is the respect we have for others and how to coexist as we are a minority in this part of the world? These are the lessons that we derive from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we can learn so many, many, many more lessons just from the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us to have a happy and a prosperous new year inshaAllah, that will be filled with patience and perseverance and determination, courage and sacrifice. Sacrifice for the mission of Allah. Very simple idea of sacrifice. We are now in a festive period, as we call it. Everybody is on holiday and everybody wants to enjoy themselves. For the mission, for the da'wah, for the propagation, for the deen of Islam, I ask you, who's going to go to the ijtima'? Or are you going to the beach? Or are you going to stand and make a mockery of yourself in the street? And this is not a joke. This is the honest truth. I want you to answer it honestly, within your heart, and ask, what am I prepared to do for the deen of Islam? I have all the time in the world right now. I'm not working, I'm at home, I'm relaxing with my family, but what am I doing for the deen of Islam? Ask yourself that question, and answer it honestly. And sacrifice some time. Put time aside and say, I want to do something for the deen of Islam. My little contribution in the propagation of the message of Islam. As Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded me to do, بَلِّغُوا عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةً. You propagate from me even if it's one ayah. Pass on the message. Be perseverant. Be patient. And be diligent. And do it properly for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will see Allah will be satisfied with you. The importance of the month of Muharram. It's a very important month. There's a lot of happenings that happen in the month of Muharram. Let's usher in the month of Muharram and the new year with zikrullah, with fasting, with remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us try and do that at least. Be conscious of Allah, be aware of Allah. You know, I had a toss-up between two lectures today. And that is, am I going to speak about the consciousness of Allah, or am I going to speak about the hijrah and the lessons from it? The consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if it is absent, it happens that once it's gone out of us, we will do what we are doing outside in the streets. We will fall into evil, we will do the wrong things because the consciousness of Allah is gone. It's not with us. So be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially during this period when we are faced with all temptation and evil outside. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all those that are sick the health and strength, inshaAllah. There's a particular lady by the name of Sister Fatima Nata. She is very ill and we have been asked to make dua for her. We make dua for her and all those that are sick, that Allah grant them the health and strength, inshaAllah. For those that were with us last year and the years before, who also witnessed the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and commemorated it, and they have passed on, may Allah grant them a high place in Jannah, inshaAllah. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. I have taken up more than enough of the time today, but I hope, inshaAllah, that we all go home with some benefit today, inshaAllah.